When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a Wednesday edition of the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how we feeling?
How about that? Spike Lee, embracing Wednesday.
Yeah, come on.
I like it.
Bring it back.
I like it. Doing pretty good there, Spike Lee. Jackie Baseball.
It's a good day.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know. Holla at your boy.
So no, baby. Yeah. So no.
We never wanted him anyway.
Pitcher. And we are on to Kyle Tucker.
Oh, my God. He can't even feel.
Kyle Tucker could be better.
All right.
Kyle Tucker could be better.
Just kidding. That was the worm.
Yeah.
But we're on to Kyle Tucker.
Yeah. Lock in, Fritz.
Lock in.
Lock in, Fritz. We're locked in today. We're always locked in. Today, a big show as always. 3:30, the return of Flyers and 50 with Broach.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Yeah. Ike's fired up for that. Baldy joins.
Are we up to a minute?
Nah, I stopped counting. Well, because I felt bad penalizing him, and honestly, he's on the air for like just 6 minutes anyway, okay. So how many more seconds does he need? Baldy joins us at 4, new Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings coming out at 4:30. Very excited for that. Then top 5 at 5 at 5 o'clock. We're ramping up here. We're ramping up. So, Ike, in my never-ending quest to make myself more nervous about the Philadelphia Eagles, even though they've won 8 in a row and they're 10-2, I started thinking about something that Jordan Mailata said to me, or said to us yesterday when we were talking to him, and something else I heard. So here was what Jordan joins us every Tuesday at 4, and here's, it was asking Jordan about the slow starts and you know, what was happening in the Baltimore game, and here's one thing he said.
Yeah, I would say they did a really good job of playing the three tech into the guard more, so we couldn't hit our double teams, our combo blocks, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
They would, the three technique would hide his hip, hide his shoulder, so I had nothing to surface or hit. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I had nothing to surface or hit. And we couldn't really get or be as dominant as we could the first quarter, just trying to see how they were playing. And they were playing a lot more into the guards than we initially thought. And it was extremely frustrating, especially for a team that loves to work on double teams. You know, we pride ourselves on that. I mean, we pride ourselves on that. My dog's over here chewing on this toy.
Oh, yeah, we thought it was a hamster.
No, it was my dog, George. George is coming. We pride ourselves on the fundamentals, and the fundamentals of football, if you can execute a perfect double block, duo, whatever you call it, that's how you can dominate the line of scrimmage, and they were making it hard for us to execute those blocks just by how the three techs were playing.
So the Ravens seemed a little prepared for what the Eagles were going to do. But then I remembered when Lane Johnson said this after the game.
You know, when you play teams like this, every possession counts. I think we try to emphasize communication. And, eventually, if you stay consistent run game, a big play is going to happen, which it did. It wasn't pretty. I thought they were pretty stout defense. They got Roquan Smith, calling out lots of plays. They were about to run. So, for me, seeing linebacker doing that was like, since Luke Kuechly, he's probably the guy calling out the most stuff. Very smart player, instinctive player. You know, that's why we've got so much success.
All right, that's enough. So Jordan Mailata has this thing where he's saying that they weren't letting us, you know, block the way that we normally do. Lane Johnson comes out and says that Roquan Smith was actually calling out a lot of their plays. And we're at this place where I keep getting to this thought that what we have is a regular season offense and not a playoff offense. An offense that can work in the regular season when you're not playing the very, very best of the best all the time, when the other team doesn't have more time to prepare for you because the other team's preparing for the rest of the season. And I'm worried that this, and even when you look at how much they're using Saquon, you know, using Saquon a lot, and who knows what condition he's going to be in by the playoffs. So my concern is that not only is it wearing Saquon down, that's one thing, but the other concern is the rest of the league is going to be able to stop this when it comes down to it. And it's not just about throwing the ball more, right? But when you throw the ball more and have more for the other team to prepare for, more to put on tape for them to wonder what you're doing, it makes everything else more effective. And when they know the thing that you're going to do, and our passing game's pretty straightforward, you know, that it's not that complicated. So I just, in my never-ending quest to worry about the Eagles, what I have landed on is that what the Eagles have is a regular season offense and not a playoff offense.
Well, I mean, listen, if I were to tell you, you know, this time I have 100% confidence that they can go run their way to a title, that remains to be seen. Eventually, you usually have to make plays in the passing game. And here's the thing. Here's why I'm a little more confident seemingly than you are. I think the passing game has the ability to be effective when need be. It's been a little choppy the last 6-7 weeks. Some of it is because, well, I'll put it this way. A lot of it is because we thrive best when we're running the football. But I think when the offense looked like it's not, from the passing standpoint, not necessarily clicking, part of it has been, do we have all of our pieces in place? Right? Like, the one thing I've come to find out, you just can't put anybody at these skill positions and expect to be as dynamic. Yeah, AJ can be there, but if there isn't somebody that's the caliber of Devontae Smith on the other side, I'm sorry, Paris Campbell, Brenton Covey, that stuff isn't doing anything to a defense. It's not scaring a defense. They don't pose enough of a threat to really force a defense to compromise anything they're doing. And so a defense will be willing to give up little slant routes to AJ. Right, they'll be willing to do that. And we'll see how long you're patient with that. You want to give him a little 8-yard slant route, 15-yard slant route. And it's no fault of AJ. It's just that if you don't have something on the other side to at least make the defense be conscious of you, then they're going to put a safety over the top of the corner that's covering AJ. And they're going to say, you know what? Throw underneath. Yeah. We'll come up and tackle him.
Do it 8 yards at a clip, yes. All you want.
Yes, right, all right. You want. And to your point, with the running game, it's logical to think that, man, eventually, if you put enough guys in the box, they'll be able to stop the running game. Here's what I'll say to that. We haven't run into that team that's been able to do that yet. You sound correct in theory, but to actually put it in play, nobody's been able to do that. Like, you think Baltimore came into that game saying, you're not going to beat us throwing the ball. So we're going to try to stop the run. And it worked for a little while. And eventually, the running game won out. They didn't win because of their passing game. Baltimore came in knowing the Eagles want to win by running the football. And they held on as long as they could. But eventually, it wasn't enough.
You know what I wonder, though, and look, the plays are the plays, and I say this all the time. I do wonder how we're thinking about that game of offense on Sunday if Tucker doesn't miss two field goals, hits an extra point, right, and Nelson Agholor doesn't drop the wide. Now, look, he missed him, and Nelson Agholor dropped it, so it is what it is. But I wonder if a lot of our context of it, that it's good enough, that it worked well enough, is because it happened to work well enough on Sunday, and there's a world in which we have a very different feeling about it today if certain a couple of small things go different ways on Sunday.
And here's what I would say to that. When the offense wasn't working in the first quarter, they had to start throwing the ball a little bit. That's how they – I mean, they mixed the run in there. They're never going to completely abandon the run, and I don't ever want them to. But they were able to mix in the passing game with Goddard and A.J. as with the runs and move the ball effectively. Here's what I'll say. When they were pressed to have to score, you're right. If Tucker makes those field goals, then we're running a different offense. Then we'll see if we can pass the ball or not. We'll see what Baltimore can do to try to stop that. The point is he missed the field goals, right?
Like you're right.
What you're doing is you're going to have to force the Eagles out of their game plan. So it puts more pressure on you as an opponent to get the Eagles out of their comfort zone.
Yep, yep. And I think to a certain extent it will test how committed the Eagles are when it's a playoff game.
Yes.
To continuing to run the ball. If you're down 10-0 in the first quarter or the second quarter.
Was it Tennessee? Did Tennessee go to the AFC Championship game? A few years ago.
Is that when they were up on Kansas City?
Yeah, on Kansas City. Was that year? I'm only saying this to say Tennessee was a defensive-led running football team, and they asked Ryan Tannehill to make a few plays here and there.
Right.
Now, it wasn't enough to get them to the Super Bowl, but I can't remember if it got them to the title game, the AFC title game, or the
I remember that year,
divisional
though.
Round.
That was the year that everybody talked themselves into Ryan Tannehill because of what happened.
And I think, was that the year Derrick Henry might have rushed for 2,000 yards that year? I don't even know. But that was their offense.
Right.
And to your point, it took them only so far to where when it was forced on Ryan Tannehill to have to make plays, he wasn't able to do it.
215-592-9494. Are the Eagles running a playoff offense or a regular season offense? Can this offense succeed in the playoffs? We do have a next question today for fun for everybody. The winner gets to be a Foxhole guy, official afternoon show Foxhole guy. We put Ike from, was Ike West?
Southwest.
Playing? Southwest. Mm-hmm. So he went in yesterday. So here is the question. On this day, I actually didn't put the year. It had to be what, like 93? Latrell Sprewell was suspended for choking P.J. Carlissimo. Mm. When he was a member of the Golden State Warriors. I remember it, too.
Yeah.
He must have really annoyed him, man. Really annoyed him.
Girl's a nice guy, yeah. PJ.
Yeah. No. So for today we're just going to do famous fights. Give us a famous fight. It could be fictional. It could be non-fictional. It can be between fighters. It could be between people that don't normally fight, like Latrell Sprewell and PJ Carlissimo.
1997, by the way.
There you go.
97.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
68-game suspension.
Yes.
For Latrell.
Oh, yeah.
You can't choke your coach.
Right.
You know, you can't choke your coach.
Might want to, but yes. You can't do it. Yeah.
Jack, you give us a famous fight.
Going with the fictional route here.
Okay.
Happy Gilmore versus versus Bob Barker.
Oh, that's a good one.
All-time answer.
That is a good one. That is a good one. Ike, do you got a famous fight for
us? Oh, yeah. I got a few of them. So I'm going to try not to take any of the popular ones. I'll just sprinkle them out throughout the show. But I'll start with, let me go with Holyfield and Tyson.
Oh, what? Holyfield and Tyson. There were two of those.
Yes. Yes. I'll go with the, to me, now the second one is the more.
The ear biting.
Yeah, the ear biting.
Right.
One. But that Holyfield-Tyson fight was years in the making.
It was.
Like that was years in the making in that heavyweight division, and they finally got together for that first fight, and it lived up to the billing with Evander Holyfield upsetting Mike Tyson and knocking him out. So that was, to me, I got a lot of those fights. I got a lot of those fights from the 80s and the 90s, man. But I'll start with that one, Holyfield versus Tyson.
So mine is actually similar to the P.J. Carlissimo Latrell Sprewell one. And my famous one is Jim Rome and Jim Everett.
Oh, yeah.
It is one of my favorite moments in sports talk history.
Yeah.
Is Jim Everett basically daring Jim Rome to call him Chris one more time, and he looked him dead in the eyes, and he did it. I give Jim Rome a lot of credit for doing it, and I give Jim Everett a lot of credit for actually choking him. So that is next question today. You'll call up with your point on the Eagles. We'll ask you next question. The best one today gets to be an official member of the WIP afternoon show. You're a WIP afternoon show Foxhole guy. Is the Eagles offense a regular season offense or a playoff offense? 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP.
Hey, Rio, get the baby doll.
Oh, no. We're going back to that.
Get the baby doll, Rios. They're going to need it today. Man, come on. Look, I don't even know what that means. Regular season offense.
Oh, I was clear about it. Come on.
I don't really understand what that means. Listen, like, Ike was right. Tennessee did go to the AFC Championship game, and they lost. But they was up 21-0.
They was.
I think, like, they had like a couple fumbles. I think Derrick Henry had a fumble and all that. The reason, like, what upsets me, and just let me talk for a minute, and y'all can get y'all out of it, because I know Spike's going to be nipping at the bit to come back.
You act like you don't get, like, 5 minutes every time you call.
I just don't want to be interrupted. I just got to get this point out here.
Okay.
I get it. Look, Jalen Hurts is not lighting the world on fire throwing the ball this year. He's actually having a pretty efficient year throwing the football. But I get it. But people act like Jalen Hurts ain't never took us to the Super Bowl. Like, it's like I get it. Josh Allen, MVP, he playing lights out or whatever. But why does people just assume that this dude can get you to a Super Bowl and play well because he's done it in a regular season? He's choked in the playoffs multiple times. Like, I get it. Hurts, our road to the playoffs wasn't as difficult or whatever. But I can go back and point out through history, people going through, you know, crap teams to get to the Super Bowl and win. Kansas City did that for their first Super Bowl, you know? So it's like, I feel like when the rubber needs to meet the road and our quarterback has to make plays, he can do it. He, to me, if the game is on the line, other than the dude in Kansas City, I think Jalen Hurts can deliver the goods if he has all his team around him. Now, I get it. If AJ gone and Devontae gone, I get all that. If he don't got them, you got me. But if everybody is crewed up and everybody's ready to go, I feel like Hurts can get us there. And we can do it however you want to get it. If we got to play defense, if it has to be a shootout. Like, we've seen us win multiple games. We was in a shootout week one, right? We was in a dog fight last week. You know, I feel like we can win multiple ways. Now, this ain't something that's talked about, you know. If Green Bay do us a favor on Thursday night and we beat Carolina, you know who number one is.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Well, let's go, Green Bay.
Well, yes, okay. Well, Green Bay's winning that game Thursday night.
Corey,
Green Bay's winning that game Thursday night.
Corey, am I allowed to respond to what you said
yet?
So I think on I understand why you think I am just sort of sneak dissing Jalen. Mm-hmm. It's not what I'm doing. I'm legitimately saying that their offense, the way that they run it, is so simple and so like almost vanilla that what we saw happen against Baltimore with them calling out plays, with Jordan saying we couldn't get it going in the first quarter because they were not letting us hit our blocks the way that we normally do it. My issue is not specifically don't think Jalen can do it. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a different sort of conversation. It's part of it, but it's just sort of like the way that they have succeeded on offense is going to, they're going to hit a spot and might even happen in the regular.
No, he's going to have to throw the ball.
Yeah. And by the way, it might even happen in the regular season.
Yeah.
Like we might be at the point where.
Happened against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. They've been doing this for 8 weeks now and everybody has enough tape on it. And we're like, all right, we know what you're doing. And what is there? Do they have a counter to the counter? And I guess my worry is that they're going to get figured out. And that's going to be, that's bigger, I think, than can Jalen lead him down the field in the fourth quarter when he needs him to. It's about the entire infrastructure of the offense.
Mm-hmm. But I also, so this is what I'll say to that. Like, it's like, I get where people coming from with, like, you know, offense, but it, like, we got to start coming out and punching people in the mouth. I was listening to somebody, I forget who it was. It was one of our beat writers, and they were saying, Kellen Moore likes to let the defense show what they're going to do or something, like he on the first two drives or whatever, or something on their first drive. He likes to see the defense, how they're going to come out and play, and he likes to react to that. I don't like that. I want to be the one to throw the punch. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be Floyd Mayweather. I mean, he's great, but I want to be the one to throw the haymaker up early. So it's like, we got to come out more aggressive. And it's like, I get, like, you throw the ball to get the lead, run the ball to keep the lead. I get all that. But it's like, come out and do what we do. Make them stop us. The Ravens had a chance to stop us, and they didn't. And missed field goals and drop balls, that happened all the time. Like, I can't say what if that don't happen, because that's one people's championship. If Tom Brady Tom Brady don't fumble the ball in our Super Bowl, they win the game. You know, like, I can't do hypothetical.
But end of the day, they put up 250 yards of offense, which is not particularly impressive. I'm talking about the Eagles did.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, but they won the football game.
Okay.
And like, that's all that matters.
All right.
And it's like, whatever you got to do to win the game, that's all I care that they do.
Give us a famous fight, Corey.
Oh, this is big. This is Mount Rushmore. I need my I'm already a Foxhole guy, but put me in there twice. You know, put my name on the thing twice. That's the Malice at the Palace, baby.
Oh, Malice at the Palace is huge.
Wow.
That's a big one.
See, yeah. This is what a Sprewell thing leads you to, the Malice at the Palace. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, look, that is a moment in Corey, thank you for the call. There's certain like moments in sports where you can see it as soon as somebody starts saying it.
I was actually watching that game. I remember it because it was a rematch from the year before. It was in the Eastern Conference Finals or what have you. You knew that was an intense rivalry with Indiana and Detroit. Yeah, it was early in the season the next year.
Did you see what happened? You remember former Sixer great Montrezl Harrell?
Yeah.
So he's playing in Australia? Started fighting courtside fans 2 weeks ago. He got suspended for a bunch of games. Now, when you get fined in the Australian League, you get fined $3,000. It's not quite like the NBA fine.
Right.
But yeah, you couldn't really tell what was happening. He was jawing him and... He actually got suspended for a bunch of different stuff. He got in a fight in the middle of the game, and then there were fans jawing at him, and he went after the fans, I think got his hand on one of them, and he had to get held back.
Yeah, it's
Well, I mean, in basketball, they're so close.
I'm coming off as the old dude, you know what I mean? And I understand that's where I'm at in life, and I don't mind it. I don't mind it. But this is why I don't want to go to games. This is why I don't like going to live games.
Right.
Listen, going to that Mets-Phillies series.
The amount of fights we could have gotten in.
And sitting out there like, dude, yeah, I'm good. It's an experience. Like, I don't get it often, and it's ironic. The only time I get it is with the Phillies. Like, I don't get to go to many other games. Like, I don't where I'm in the stands or what have you. Being on the road, man. To be called all sorts of names, and listen, you know, I'm a man.
Sure are, yeah.
So I won't put paws on people. That's what I want to do, but I got to be smart.
Well, you had to give me a talking to at the Phillies-Mets game because one guy started saying something to me, and I started yelling back.
And I'm like,
Because I don't, I can't back up my mouth.
Yeah. And we're all being there fighting. And I don't know. Next thing you know, we got 30 people on top of us because we're Phillies fans.
Dude.
Well, where was it for game four was pretty good.
We were straight when we were safe for game four. Yes. We weren't actually in the stands.
Well, when I went to, I almost got a fight with a Sixers fan at a Sixers game at a Sixers Celtics playoff game. But I remember when I went, when we played them in 2012, the Celtics in the Eastern Conference semis. I was dating my wife at the time. It was Memorial Day weekend, and we went up to go see that game. Mm-hmm. So Sixers lose. After the game, I'm getting taunted by Celtics fans and some female Celtics fans. And Val goes and gets up in their face.
Yeah, story,
it's not just you that have to fight for me. My wife also has to fight for me.
It's the energy of being in that environment. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm tense because part of me is like, come on, Lee, I take on all y'all. And then the other part of me is like, dude, first of all, you're too old for that. Secondly, you ain't even in your own home stadium.
Yes. No one's going to have your back
out
there.
Remember how we were in Houston.
That was way closer.
Really?
Well, because they were... I mean, now...
How do you get? That's my question.
I'm pretty...
Yeah. Believe me, I wasn't looking for help.
No, but Ike in Houston had to walk to the bathroom.
I did.
To cool his jets a little bit.
To count to 10.
Oh, really?
I did, yes.
Because Ike was holding his phone up, trying to videotape, like, I think a Bryce at bat or something. Yep. Like, put your phone down.
I
forget what else they said, but it was... It was tense.
It was tense. Yeah, it was. And then, that's when I realized, like, see, I'm not used to being out with the people.
The muckety muck,
I'm not used to it. Yes, I'm not used to it.
All right. So coming up next, Chase Daniel. We actually never got to this yesterday. Chase Daniel had some more to say about Jalen. I know every time that...
You get everybody a TV show,
well,
man.
As soon as a backup quarterback says something about Jalen, we play it. So we will play that next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You know, when your quarterback goes down, you have backup quarterback. When your water heater goes down, you don't have backup water heater. You're just like, you're out of luck. And it's that panic. Oh, no, what do I do? Which one do I get? Blah, 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 blah. When you don't have any more hot water coming out.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.